Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
And we're on.
Oh, man.
It's happening. We're squirrely.
We've been so squirrely this morning.
That's okay.
I feel like I haven't seen you because we tried to work together all last week and it was like, no, today's not going to work. Today's not going to work.
No, I know. Every time we tried to get together, something happened. So
yeah.
Sick children and
yes.
All kinds of
life,
stuff. Life. Always getting in the way.
Yeah.
So yeah, this feels nice.
Yeah. Hello.
I am regretting not getting that water.
Oh, you got my
stomach?
Your stomach is like...
Sarah goes, are you hungry? Ken, you don't have to give me a water.
Sounds like a little tiger over there.
I don't know what's happening with my belly.
She'll take an omelet, peppers and onions.
I don't know what's going on here.
That's funny.
I was saying earlier, I woke up at 3:15 in the morning and it was just instant awake.
Oh my gosh.
But it was one of those things where I was really comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I felt cozy.
Because you had your windows open, probably.
Surprisingly, yes. Normally we would be, but for whatever reason, we didn't have them open last night, which is crazy.
Because it was going to get down to like 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was four. Okay. So fast forward, I'm sitting there at 3:15. By 5:15, Gary rolls over and he goes, do you want to walk the neighborhood? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. You're I've been awake for hours.
Pretty much. I was just laying in bed going, I'm not tired, but I feel like this is so nice. And when we walked the neighborhood, it was 45.
Yeah.
It felt great.
I got up early this morning. I mean, it wasn't 3:15. I got up at 5 and was reading research on our podcast episodes, actually.
Oh, there you go. We could have been texting each other.
We could have been. Yeah.
Oh, Ken brought me water and snacks.
Oh, what
thanks,
a
Ken.
Guy.
Gosh, he's the best. Guy. He's the best. All right. Should we dive into what we're talking about today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Why don't you set us up?
Okay. So I'm excited about this episode because this is something.
This is your jam.
This is my jam. I feel like it's a work in progress. I don't think you'll ever arrive at decluttering and de-stressing your life, but, you know, that's today's topic. So just in general, modern life is just filled with epic amounts of demands, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Busy seasons with sports and life, and you know, everything kind of is cyclical as far as like summer and school and, you know, personal things and work and how things work. So today we are going to be talking about taking back control and reclaiming your time.
Yeah. And then we're going to talk about clearing mental and physical clutter.
Yep. And then finally, we will end with decluttering energy, sucking relationships. Ew.
But before we dive into all that, let's hear from our first sponsor. Ann's Bra Shop features skilled mastectomy fitters ready to assist you in selecting the perfect breast forms, bras, swimsuits, and camisoles for your post-surgery needs. They have 3 locations in the St. Louis area, Chesterfield and Wentzville, Missouri, across the river in O'Fallon, Illinois, and a 4th location south on I-55 in Cape Girardeau. Visit Ann's Bra Shop at www.brashop.com to learn more.
All right, we're back. Let's just kind of talk about the statistics to set the stage for what we're going to talk about. Because there is a study by the American Institute of Stress that 77% of people regularly experience physical symptoms caused by stress.
Yep, and 33% feel they live in extreme stress, which is absolutely insane. And this is a really great topic for you because when you're stressed, what happens?
Yeah, when I get stressed, there is always a physical manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every single time. It can be... I mean, I can't even tell you. It's always random, too.
Yeah.
You'd think I'd have the same symptoms every time. No, it's different every single time.
But do you feel yourself when you start to get overwhelmed with a scratchy throat or something?
Yeah,
you're
sometimes.
Like, oh, I can tell something is about to happen.
I mean, I think my immune system's just down.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens. Yeah. You start feeling not great.
Yeah.
You know, either I stop sleeping.
Yeah.
I'll get nauseous.
Yeah.
I will get a sore throat.
Yeah.
I one time gave myself shingles. It's random.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am super intentional about not overscheduling my family.
Uh-huh.
Because every time we do, it negatively impacts us as a unit.
Yeah.
So is this where you want me to talk
yes.
about it?
Yeah.
Okay, so Sarah and I, when we were putting together this episode, I wanted to make an entire episode out of this topic. And Sarah's like, first of all, everybody will hate you. And second,
nobody wants to listen to you.
Nobody
your
wants to listen to me rant about this. But one of my big pet peeves is families running their lives around kids' sports, specifically select sports. The difference in kids' sports over the last 20 years is insane.
Yeah.
And I submit to you people that these sports, these exclusive, expensive, select teams where your kid has to be super good to get on them, this is a ploy for your money and your time and your status. And it's not really there to help your kids. I said it. And you know what? Like, there's good data to back up what kind of stress this puts on families.
Yeah.
Families are not saving for retirement so that their kids can participate in these things. They have unrealistic expectations of what kind of careers these kids are going to have because they participate. They think they're going to get full ride scholarships when very few do. I mean, and even more so, the kids are less happy.
So there was actually a 2024 data analysis found a relationship between the number of enrichment activities that a child participates in and their mental health challenges. So the more anxiety and the more just probably stress and eating disorders. And in general, a kid who spends more time in extracurricular activities is more likely, again, to struggle with depression and anger, too.
And that is not surprising to me at all. So full disclosure, my middle child had an aptitude for basketball, and it was really fun watching her play, right? And when she played on a team that was just kind of recreational, it felt like, oh my gosh, she could really do something if she was on a competitive team, right? And that's how they kind of get you. You want to see how far they can take it. You like watching them. Then people start coming into your, you know, knocking on your door. Oh my gosh, she's really good. You know, will she join this team? And then you think, oh, that makes me feel good, you know, and that she gets excited about it. So she joined one of those teams, those select teams. And then all of a sudden, you know, hey, I know that she's already on this team, but can she also join this team? And this, before I knew it, she was like playing for three teams. And Gary and I never saw each other. Every single week and weekend was dedicated to her sport. The other kids, we weren't eating dinner as a family. Gary and I, like the things that we had done together as couples, like evening walks or more, like all that went by the wayside. And it immediately impacted our family dynamic. And I was very unpopular in the house when I was like, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. This is absolutely ridiculous. You know, and Gary was convinced that she was going to be, you know.
And I imagine it becomes really difficult when one parent sort of is pushing in and wants it. And the other parent is like, hold on, I'm seeing the trickle down effects and how this is impacting everybody else. And
moms know, though. Moms have instincts. And that kind of goes back to this whole episode. We know instinctually when something feels off and it's not benefiting our kids or benefiting our marriage. We just tend to ignore it because society's telling us we have to do it. I was saying this offline before we jumped on here. Did you know that kids' sports makes more money than the NFL?
That is, it's crazy.
It's like a $19 billion industry. And the NFL, I think, is like $12 or $13 billion. But it's like everything revolves around it. Travel, tourism, all these exclusive coaches that you're paying for, all the equipment you have to pay for, the travel. The amount of people that are hopping planes to travel for their kids' sports, like, blow my mind.
I saw this reel and it was sort of a joke, but this coach guy, or it was a comedian, and he was like, okay, welcome to the first parent meeting of your club sport, your daughter or son's club sport. You know, right up front, we're going to need a $12,000 check from you, and we will be traveling to two extensively far out of town games. One will be in Dubai. You will have to give us all of your vacation. I mean, he just kept getting more and more outrageous. And the more I talk to parents that I sit on the sidelines with, it's like, yes, it feels kind of true.
It is true. Everybody knows it's true.
Yeah.
Now, the arguments made for it is, oh, it's so good for the kids' mental health, which we've already shown not the case.
Play in general is good for them, but it doesn't have to be $12,000 a year club sports. You know,
or four practices a week plus all weekend games. You know, so we got to rein it back in.
It is difficult, too, I think, because also the thing that we're up against in this country is that we're all a little bit sedentary. And our tendency as a society is to be more sedentary. There's more video games, there's more TV shows, there's more things to watch, and there's more things to suck us in screen-wise. That when our kids get out and play, you sort of want to jump into it also with both feet. So you know.
Well, and there's also the argument that parents
put on club now than there is on more rec leagues. And,
oh, yeah. Rec leagues are, you know, that's a thing of the past.
My daughter plays rec.
Well, so does mine. You know why? Because I make her. Yeah. And it's lovely for our family. And she still gets physical exercise.
Right.
The other argument parents will make was, if you don't keep them busy with sports, they could get into some trouble. Yeah. And it's like, okay. Or... Yeah. You just got to be super involved as a family and know what's going on.
Yeah.
So I'm off my high horse. Sorry.
So this really all speaks to just overscheduling in general. I know that we sort of are mostly talking about sports here, but
it's lack of time.
Yeah, it's lack of time after school. Actually, my daughter said this morning, you know, every morning we wake up and what's for lunch and what day is it? What do we have to after school? And we had just watched Garfield last night, and Garfield was talking about how Monday is the worst day because Monday is the day he goes to the vet and he gets weighed because he eats a lot of lasagna. And she goes, that's funny. I think Mondays are my favorite days. And I go, that's interesting. Tell me why that is. She said, Mondays, we don't have anything after school. And it's nice. She just gets to come home and she gets to play. Mm, she gets to clean her room.
That's insightful.
And it kind of hit me in a way like, oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that she craves her day where it's calm and we don't have a million things to do after school. So take your cues from your kids too. Also,
my kids' favorite thing to do is to eat dinner as a family at the kitchen table.
Oh, that's awesome.
They love it. And if we even suggest that we can't do it for whatever reason, they're disappointed. And so when we were overscheduled, that was not happening.
Yeah. And I'm sure you see that in everybody's behaviors.
You see it in their behaviors. You see it in their eating habits. So now we're eating on the run.
Yeah.
You know, they're eating ramen noodles or fast food instead of having a meal. I mean, there's lots of implications like that. It affects more than just that one thing.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like taking your cues from your kids and really observing how they feel about things is a really good tip.
Yep. So some signs that you're doing too much, and this doesn't have to speak to sports. It could be too many nights with things in the evenings or just overscheduling your days. If you always feel like you're rushing or if you always feel like you might get places late because you have too many things on your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you say things like, I have no time for self-care. This one sort of drives me bonkers when people say things like, oh, I wish I had more time to go for walks or I wish I had more time for exercise. To me, exercise has always been paramount. Like it's like brushing my teeth. You need to do it if you want to feel good. And so when you don't have time to do things like self-care, the things that you know that you want to do for yourself, you probably have too many things. You should get rid of things.
Yeah.
Or if you're feeling exhausted, if you have too many things on your schedule and you're not giving yourself the time for self-care, then you're probably feeling a little burnt out.
So how are other ways? Like I'm just thinking about other ways that people don't have time. We see a big trend of women just constantly doing things for other people.
Yes.
Which kind of speaks to your whole self-care thing. Yep. You're not doing it for yourself because you're prioritizing other people's well-being first.
Oh, a big one is grandparents watching their grandkids.
Oh my gosh. The amount of grandparents that are watching grandkids.
That's because daycare is so expensive now.
I guess. But I'm also just the demands on somebody that, you know, is that age to take care of littles. I mean, I was chronically exhausted. Gary and I were just laughing about looking back at pictures of us when the kids were really little, you know, and we just look perpetually exhausted. And I'm thinking, now you're doing this to your parents.
Yeah.
I mean, some grandparents are just gobbling up any time they can take with the kids. Yeah. They're excited about it. But then we have a fair amount of women that are like, oh, I would do this, but I can't because I have to babysit.
Yeah. And then there's the overworkers, I think. People who just really derive so much of their purpose and their meaning
from
their job.
That was me.
Don't have a good boundary on saying no.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just recognizing, I mean, with work, why is all of my purpose wrapped up in my work? That was work I had to do on myself for it took me forever to figure out, why do you associate your work with your value? That's a tough one.
So some strategies, if you do notice that you are feeling like you're rushing all the time, no time for self-care and feeling exhausted, I think the biggest one is just learning to say no. And that no is a full sentence. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to justify your reason and feeling no guilt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which can be a practice. And I think sometimes, I think one year, I think my New Year's resolution was to just say no.
Do you know how I say it?
Hmm.
I said, I would love to, but I can't.
Oh, yeah. There
you go. And then I just stopped talking.
Yeah. Well, and that also kind of sounds nicer because I'd love to.
But I can't.
Yeah. But no.
Sometimes I really wouldn't love to. Yeah, but it just sounds nice. Yeah, I would love to, but I can't.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, there are times you just say no. Like, you don't have to be a people pleaser. So time blocking. So prioritize meaningful activities and leaving space for play. So this sort of speaks to our Monday. On Mondays at home, we'll play games. We'll go for a walk. We'll mm-hmm. kick the soccer ball around the neighborhood. We do things that are more fun and connecting for the family.
Play is deeply, deeply associated with feeling joy. Yes. And we don't, as a society, make any room for it.
No.
Any room for the frivolous, any yeah. room for the fun, you yeah. know, the carefree. And when women, especially post-treatment, are trying to rediscover joy, yeah. incorporate some play.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that requires you making time.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to make it a priority. So my call to action, there's with each section today, we're going to have a little call to action at the end of it. So look at your calendar and just start to evaluate what is really important on there and what could go. Mm-hmm. Even if you're just like, I kind of like doing this, but it doesn't bring me joy or purpose, then, you know, say no to it in the future.
Or I'm feeling burnt out.
Yeah. And I find somebody else to do it.
I just need a week where I don't do this one thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we go into clearing the clutter, so this is talking about your physical space, let's do Boobs in the News.
Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News!
Okay, so these are, I guess they don't call them tweets now, but these are just funny things that people, I guess, would have tweeted. These were posted recently. So, okay, so several, you can connect with some of these. Several years ago, I read that potatoes and butter have all the nutrients a person needs to stay alive, and I have refused to inspect that information since... it is my emotional support fact.
What? Stop it.
I mean, yeah, but don't potatoes make everybody feel better? Okay, let's see. I accidentally cut a guy off switching lanes when he went around me. He gave me the thumbs down instead of the finger. I don't know why, but it hurt more.
I actually want to start using that.
Yeah. No.
I'm going to give people the thumbs down. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, let's see.
What's the topic of this?
There is no topic. These are just funny tweets.
Okay.
Some years back, my wife and I got into the habit of asking each other, do you want comfort or solution? Ooh, when the other was having a bad time. That's actually a really, really good marital advice.
I know. Gary that and I, are, sentence, I'm always like, am I fixing this or not?
That one sentence can save us from an argument 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
That's not funny. That's actually really
good. That's good advice. Yeah. Yeah.
I just need people to understand that before cell phones, we had to call landlines and their friends' parents would answer and you had to talk to their parents until their friend came to the phone. Oh my gosh. Do you have to talk to your kids' friends at all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My daughter, it was so funny. She told me the other day that her best friend feels weird asking if she can have food at our house. And part of me is like, great, because groceries are super expensive. And then part of me is like, oh, I don't want to have the house where she doesn't feel like she can have food at our house.
Yeah.
You know, but I just think it's so funny. Yeah. When I'm around them and my kids are upstairs getting ready or whatever, I'm making small talk.
I see this with my 6-year-old. She's talking to her. She's got this cute little boy that she's friends with in her class. And they'll be talking on Messenger and they're just like chatting away. He's like talking. She's talking. And then I pop my face on there. I'm like, hey. And then he just.
Clams up.
He clams up. He's so cute. Okay, my last one. My wife and I are sitting on the couch watching TV and I hear a text realizing I left my phone in the kitchen. I get up, go to the kitchen to check it, and it's a text for my wife. Please bring the chips on your way back.
That's awesome.
That was a genius move on her part.
I'm not prone to like scrolling social that much, but every once in a while I get sucked into the reels.
Yeah.
And I think the cutest ones are the couple where the wife is trying to help and then she inadvertently hurts the husband.
Uh-huh.
It cracks me up every time because what is the first thing she does after she hurts him?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, she laughs.
Oh, hilarious.
And then he tackles her.
Yes.
And then people are always like, this is the marriage I want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the same thing with that. Text.
Oh, were they fixing a fence in one of them? I feel like I've seen this.
Well,
one.
It's where he's cutting boards and she goes to pick up the board and she turns and she hits him in the head and then he goes, ow, and she turns the other way and hits him the other way. So she got him twice.
Ah, that's great.
And he's just like, get away from
get
me.
Away.
And then of course she's doubled over.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's your boobs.
That's funny.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
All right. So let's talk about your physical space, because this is a big one, I think, for me. And
yeah,
something
this
that
is
I find,
huge for you. You love to minimalize.
Whew, I love getting rid of stuff.
Mm-hmm,
so
me too.
Why clearing clutter equals why clutter equals stress. So did you know that a Princeton University Neuroscience Institute found that physical clutter competes for your attention? So when you walk into a space, and just think about when you walk in the next space you walk into, how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel overwhelmed? Does it make you feel busy? Does it make you feel stressed? The presence of lots of things can actually increase your stress.
I think that's why our House of Hope is like, so people love that space. And I think it's because it's so minimal.
Yeah.
It's so clean. It's so minimal. Yeah. It's like just the basic necessities of what you need. And I think it immediately de-stresses people.
Totally. I mean, I think that's why I like going to Airbnbs in general or any other house, because it's just our houses. I wish that my house only had just exactly what I need.
Well, I mean, that's really hard to do when you live with other people.
Yes, yes.
If I live by myself,
you can't ask that of them too.
I always joke about that because in college, my dorm room, when I lived in my own dorm room by myself, it was so sparse.
Mm-hmm.
It was the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when you collect people in your life, you can't force them to feel the same way.
Yeah. Eric's got to think about flashlights. God love him. If there's ever an electricity outlet, we got flashlights.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So there is a clutter-cortisol connection. So the more clutter, the higher levels of cortisol, in that, which is your stress hormone. So what are some practical decluttering tips? So there's the three box method. There's the keep, donate, and toss.
Mm-hmm.
I add a fourth box and I sell that stuff because there is money to be made on the things that you have that are really nice.
Ugh. The time it takes to post all that.
I think it's really fun.
Goodwill gets all my money.
So decluttering your digital space. So this can feel really overwhelming, especially if you've ever filled up a computer memory space or getting those emails saying like, oh, would you like to pay $10.99 to store all of your photos from the last 20 years?
It changes my life to have filters on work stuff because all my notification emails and all my newsletter emails go to their own folder and it doesn't clutter up my inbox. And it just is lovely.
Yeah. Unsubscribing can be just life-changing to get on there and know that only the 10 email notifications that you get in the morning, because that can get really, really overwhelming.
I wish they would
stressful.
Allow you to mass unsubscribe. I have yet to figure out how to do that in my email. Like if I go to my newsletter, my notification, you would think.
Yeah. So the minimalism mindset. So shifting your focus from material accumulation to experience and meaningful connections. I think if anybody's read the KonMari method or the
Marie Kondo. She's all about like, if you look at something and it doesn't bring you joy,
don't keep it. Get rid of it. Or this is another big one that I see with a lot of people is that they'll be like, oh, well, someday I'm going to redo this bookshelf.
Then
if you don't know when that someday is going to happen, or if you don't have the ability to put it on your calendar now or within the next year, get rid of it. You can always get it.
My husband's more like sentimental. He wants to keep everything for sentimental reasons. Mm. And I'm like, you realize, right, that in two generations, nobody's going to remember who we were.
Yeah.
They're not going to care who we are. If our mementos are still around, they're giving them away.
Yeah.
I have no attachment to material items at all. My kids call me mommy, no feelings.
So I do have a rule with this. I keep one box. I keep one really large Rubbermaid. It's got the kids' meaningful artwork, some of their clothes, their baby clothes. And then the same with me. I've got one box and it's got my graduation gown in it, my diploma, some yearbooks, you know,
One box. It's not like I'm saying you can't keep anything.
Yeah. Then you either got to get rid of some, or whatever. So really the call to action with this one is pretty easy. Just pick one space and declutter your home and just see how it makes you feel. And if you're like, I feel no different, then that ain't for you. But, you know, you never know. It might make you feel loads better.
I want to hear from people who out there is like a hoarder / clutter bug versus who lives like that minimal lifestyle. You know, like, are you a tchotchke person? You know why I'm not a tchotchke person, more than the fact that I like minimalism?
You gotta dust it.
Yes, exactly.
I'm the same.
I'm like,
even when we redid our stairs, Eric's like, do you want to put those little funny baskets in the spindles? I go, no, you gotta dust that.
Yeah, no.
Straight spindles.
Absolutely not. No. Yeah. Anything that requires more dusting, out.
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 Yep. All right. So the last section. So I think this one is probably the most complicated of all the three, is cutting out relationships.
Ooh.
Relationships that don't serve you, prioritizing positive connections. So first, this requires
This is a means to reduce your stress, just as a reminder.
Right. Yes.
But
yes.
What do you think about people? This is such an interesting topic because people have a really hard time cutting ties with people who are toxic because
sometimes they're family members.
They're family members
or
they're worried about it affecting them mentally. You know what I mean? Like cutting them loose is going to cause them more pain than just putting up with
them. Well, that's something you have to,
I feel like
you have to evaluate that.
We talk to a lot of women who don't cut out the bad relationship because they feel like that's more painful than putting up with it.
Yeah.
I would argue that's just because you haven't gotten used to being away from it, because when I cut toxic people out and you spend some time away from them, you're like, oh my gosh, why am I so happy? Yeah. And then you realize, yeah, this is why.
And if you do find yourself in that place where you're like, I'm not ready to let this person go, then that's where those boundaries come into play.
Oh, boundaries.
Like setting people up boundaries and knowing that when they make you feel a certain way, that you get to choose how you respond and you get to choose whether you let that affect you or not. So, or whether you let them continue to speak to you that way or treat you that way, like. And if they don't respect your boundaries, then I would maybe reevaluate whether you actually want them.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like putting boundaries in place with people in general is something that everybody struggles with.
Yeah. So this can take a huge toll on your mental health if you just let those people constantly come in and drain you. And this could look like them constantly asking of you and maybe never reciprocating, being the people to increase your anxiety or talk to you in a way that just isn't.
Yeah, it lowers your self-esteem, makes you feel bad. Mm-hmm. I tell the kids that all the time. I'm like, if you have a friend who is perpetually making you feel bad, I'm like, that's not what a friendship is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And they also found a 2016 study said that if you remaining in toxic relationships gave you a 20% increased risk of developing chronic health conditions, including depression and heart disease.
Yeah, I think it's like 40% heart disease. And, you know, you think as a breast cancer survivor, your biggest concern is your cancer. Mm-hmm. But heart disease is the number one killer of women. Right. And having had treatment, you're more susceptible to that, you know. So you sit there and wonder, what's the connection between reducing your stress and recurrence and health? It's pretty huge.
Yeah.
It's pretty huge.
Stress is huge. So what are some strategies? So read the book. You know, if you're a reader or listen, Set Boundaries, Find Peace by Nidra Glover Tawab. And actually, she is coming out with a book, another book soon, or follow her on social media. She constantly puts out cute little quotes all the time that are really.
I follow her, her newsletter. She's the one that's really always good. Like in brightly colored.
Uh-huh,
and the cover of her book is beautiful.
Beautiful. And she's got a workbook too. So if setting boundaries is something you struggle with, if you kind of find that yourself more of a people pleaser, somebody who is hard to say no, her book was really instrumental for me. I usually read a book and get rid of a book unless it's something that impacts my core being, but her book is one I keep and I'll refer back to it often. And then detox your social circle. So really take note of who you're surrounding yourself with, uplifting people, practicing no to people, and then just see how you feel after.
Yeah. And when to let go, recognizing when it's healthy to walk away from people, healthier. I think that you can always leave that door open. You know, it's about setting that boundary. Like, this isn't good for me. When you can engage with me in XYZ way,
we can
talk about it.
Yeah.
But I think you put the work on the other person.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are the parameters for relationship with me.
Yeah.
When you can meet them, I'm happy to reevaluate.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So that's really our call to action is just to evaluate your relationships and then just constantly be shifting.
Yeah. Before we kind of wrap up, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
Okay, we're back. So, you know, big picture, reducing stress isn't just about one thing. I mean, it's kind of doing a self-assessment, right? Mm-hmm. And seeing where does most of your stress come from?
Yep.
You know, for me, it was club sports and I made a change.
The mantra of doing more is not always better.
Right. It's not. And it's not helping you or serving you in any way, shape or form. So maybe just do a personal inventory and figure out where is most of your stress coming from?
Yeah.
What are the proactive things you can put in place to counter that?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I want to hear about it. So if you're on our private network, our private community, you know, post in there, let us know what you think. And
Or leave us a voice message on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How do they do that?
They go to bestieswithbreastiespodcast.com and then there's a little button that says, leave us a message.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do that, people.
Yeah, that's always fun. And then just as a final statistic to drive home the point about today, the World Health Organization, the WHO, states that reducing your stress can extend your lifespan by up to 7 years and can significantly lower your risk of chronic illness. So, I mean, if that doesn't make, I mean, who wants, I want 7 years more.
7 years is a lot.
7 years is a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
All right, until next time, guys.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.